Welcome to Waco.
Thank you. Glad to be in Waco.
Best advice for sign makers showing up tomorrow.
Be edgy, but not vulgar. Don't be coarse. Don't go over the line, but tiptoe right up to the edge of the line. We like that. And be clever and creative, not just mean-spirited. How about that?
What went into the decision to come to this game and to come to Waco?
Oh, well, look, I mean, it's one of the stories of the season. Baylor's undefeated. They're in the fight for a Big 12 championship. I think the renaissance that Matt Rhule has led here makes this a compelling story. And Oklahoma, obviously, is a big deal, even with the loss. I mean, it's the best story and best game of the weekend. I think a lot of times people think that we just bring the show to where the two highest-ranked teams are or where the two lowest numbers are. And you have that. In this case, I get, well, and maybe Georgia-Auburn would add up to fewer, a lower number. But it's also the best story and the best scene and all of those types of things that factor into it. So, I mean, it was a pretty easy choice for us to come here this week.
You've got good perspective on this. What's the national perspective on the Big 12 right now, this year?
I think good, not great, meaning that there's a lot of depth and there are a lot of really good teams, as evidenced by all of the close games and league play and that sort of topsy-turvy nature of who's won. And even, you know, even a four-loss team like Iowa State's lost all these games by 1 and 2 points. I think that there's a perception, and I think it's an accurate one because it's my perception, that there are some really good teams in the league. I don't know if there's a great one, but there's a lot of depth and good players and certainly an opportunity to get into the college football playoff for both Baylor and Oklahoma. But Baylor has to, I think Baylor has to win out and probably finish undefeated, and Oklahoma needs to do the same and probably be impressive doing so to edge out, you know, whether it be a Pac-12 champion or one loss team from the SEC, whatever it might be.
You guys have the platform to put schools, cities, teams on a huge stage, and to get to do that for Baylor this weekend in Waco after going 1-11 and just this rebuild. For you to be able to kind of do that for this area, what does that mean to you?
I think it's great because we've been on both sides of it. I'm pretty sure it was my first year on the show. Was it 2015 that we were here? Mm-hmm. Okay. It was my first year on the show, and Baylor kind of had it going then. And, you know, Baker Mayfield was in here, and then all of the other things happened, and it sort of went to the bottom. And I think just being candid, and you always try to be nice when you're visiting, but I think the perception after everything that happened with Baylor and at the end of the Briles era, the perception was, well, you can win there, but if you do, you're going to have to walk on the edge and step over the edge and get questionable people and all of that kind of thing, and that's proven not to be the case. You know, Matt's come in here and I think not only changed the culture and established a winning football program, but he's done so in conjunction and adherence with the core values of this university. And because of that, I think that makes it a really great story to tell.
And no,
yeah,
sorry.
That's okay.
So, you know, when you look at this story, you kind of mention it. I mean, this is the first time that Baylor, since all that's happened, has kind of been on this kind of stage before.
Right.
Was there any hesitation? I mean, what kind of went into that thought process?
I don't think it entered into it at all. Obviously, it's going to be touched on because it's part of the story. But we weren't. That's not what we do. We're not shying away from anything like that. That is part of the story. This is, we are not, and I don't want to be coming after you, we're not a cheerleading show, you know, and we're not afraid of stories. And we certainly, you know, it's human nature to enjoy it more when it has turned and is now on the uptick and is now positive. But, you know, we're not afraid. So, you know, there was no hesitation, I guess, probably is the best way to answer your question.
You were at Temple that same year. I think y'all went to, for the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
Because you were there, because of what you saw Matt do, is it maybe less of a surprise that to see him do it here?
That's a great point. You know, you've rebuilt it at Temple, although they weren't in such dire straits when he took over there, but he certainly elevated it, and then he's rebuilt it here the way he wants to. He's one of the excellent builders in college football. He's proven that twice now, and to, you know, not to recognize that, and I think some people do still sort of overlook it, and they're not, you know, I don't know, they fully appreciate what good jobs he's done both places, and his ability to build relationships with his players and the people around him, his entire staff, is really remarkable and impressive. So to answer your question, Yes, it probably is less of a surprise because when, you know, I called their bowl game, the Baylor bowl game, I guess it was Jim Grobe's last game, and Matt came in the booth after he had taken the job. And I remember people were a little surprised that he'd taken the job, but he felt compelled and called to take this job. And I think that when you've been around him, you kind of believe that he's going to find a way to build and win, and he's done that again.
From what you've seen, especially some of the uglier wins Baylor's had, does a 13-0 conference champion Baylor make it in over an 11-1 Alabama?
It all depends. I mean, some of it is going to be football judgment, and what you say now, all of it depends on how does Alabama look against Auburn, how does Baylor look. But I would be hard pressed to say that a 13-0 conference champion would be left out in favor of anybody. But Alabama this year, they have an elite offense, as good an offense, if not the best offense in the country, with all due respect to everybody else, especially when Tua's healthy. But the defense it's fine, but it's not what you saw a couple of years ago when they made it, when they didn't win the conference. When you watch that team in the complete team, you said, well, yeah, they're better than everybody else. You look at this team and you go, well, the quarterback and wide receivers are unbelievable, but the rest of the team is good. They're good. And then that's exacerbated from their standpoint by the fact that the schedule hasn't fallen right for them. You know, they would have one quality win if they are under consideration, and that would be over Auburn. So I would find it difficult to think that an undefeated Big 12 champion will be left out in favor of Alabama given its resume. Now, what would be more concerning, I would think, is Auburn. As crazy as that might sound, with two losses, you have two losses by a field goal to LSU and to another team that's right around the top 10, victory over the Pac-12 champion, presumed Pac-12 champion, a victory over Georgia, and a victory over Alabama. You know, maybe it's Auburn you ought to be more worried about than Alabama.
You talked about maybe the Oklahoma needing to win impressively, but given the way that Baylor kind of ascended to the national stage with offense and flash, now that they're winning these games maybe a little more ugly, does that hurt them from a national perspective?
I don't think so. I think it's not so much that. It's just the close nature of the games. If you're dominating the game, you can dominate it a number of ways. You can dominate it defensively. You don't always have to score 50 points to dominate a game. You know, football judgment should be part of this equation to me, because if not, everybody got mad with the BCS form. Oh, computers, we can't have computers, we need human eyes. Well, why do you want human eyes? So they can evaluate the teams. Now, you're not always going to agree with what people judge and what their evaluations of teams, but if you want that subjective element, and I do, then you have to live with some disagreement from time to time, because everybody's not going to look and see the same thing most of the time. And so I'm not going to say that I find it hard to believe and hard scenario to envision Baylor being undefeated and being left out in favor of a non-champion, particularly one without a lot on its resume, absent, you know, somebody just looking and saying, look, they're just better. And if they do, then, you know, that's why we have the committee. But, you know, that I like that. I'm actually in favor of the subjectivity a little bit, to a degree. It needs to be backed up with some objective data, but, you know, they say it all the time, and I agree with it. It's not science, it's art. We had science, and people didn't like it. Now we've got art. You got to choose. You know, I mean, you got to choose one of them. You can't have basically what people want, most people, and we're all like this as humans. We want what I think. And if you don't disagree with it, or if you disagree with me, you must be biased because you disagree with what I thought. You know, and so that's kind of where we are, but that's what makes this sport great. It's been this way throughout history.
After covering the sport during the BCS era and before, obviously, do you think that in a funny way the playoff has made college football less inclusive, just in terms of now we just talk about the playoff, now we talk about these 7 or 8 teams that maybe have a shot and don't talk about everything else?
It has changed it. It'd be disingenuous to say otherwise. But it's sort of, I don't know if it's so much just the playoff as it is the nature of everything being available to people. So you sort of gravitate toward what's at the top of the heap. And in this case, it's the playoff. because you can see everything. Now, back in, you know, if you want to go way back in the old days, when if a team wasn't really going to be ranked number one or number two, but they could still win their conference, they could still win their rivalry game, it felt like a bigger deal back in the day. And I think some of it is because, you know, if you were watching that game at noon, you weren't looking ahead to Oklahoma-Baylor with playoff implications later. You just, you know, that wasn't on TV. You didn't think about that. They, you know, so I think just the way we consume sports now in general has changed it, but I also think that the playoff has impacted that, because I've sort of chuckled that people have talked about the impact on the bowls. I love the bowls, but the history of the bowls, the tradition, the reason bowls were established way back in the day, drive tourism and be an exhibition game. And for most of them, that's what they still are. And for most of them, that's what they've always been. But we've had it in our mind somehow that we morphed it over the years into being this big reward and the ultimate goal. And now that we say, well, no, wait a minute, it's not part of the playoff or part of determining a champion, so how do we? Well, the Weed Eater Bowl, and notice I use one that doesn't exist anymore. Even I know the bowl still exists, but the, you know, the sponsor doesn't. It never had any impact on the on the national championship. You know, it never did. And so that hasn't changed. Our perception of it has changed, and some of that is, I think, due to the playoff. But I think that's a good thing. The playoff's been good for college football, in my judgment.
Reese, with regards to your show and the status you guys have now, what's that like to go to different cities? And, I mean, it's like the circus has come to town when you guys show up. What's that like to be a part of it?
It's gratifying, and it's humbling. I mean, when we go places, like when we went to Memphis this year, or when we went to South Dakota State, or really even when we've been here, I had people coming up to me in the restaurant last night, and they thank you for bringing the show, and you want to say, no, thank you for appreciating the show and wanting to come out and be part of it. It's, we understand that they're not coming out to see the Rolling Stones or Drake or somebody. They're coming out to use our show as a vehicle to celebrate something that's important to them, their school, their city, their team, you know, the achievement that the team has had up to that point. They're coming out to use our show to showcase that. And we never lose sight of that. They're not coming out and, hey, we got to go see those guys. I mean, I think that I hope they enjoy coming to see us, but the reason they come is because of their deep attachment to their team. And we're really, you know, I'm consistently humbled to be part of that and to hear how much people appreciate it and how they make it part of their college football Saturday, and it's very gratifying.
Thank you.